Welcome to The Word at First Pres. The sermon you're about to hear is not part of a regular sermon series. It stands on its own and can be instructive to our Christian faith in its own way, even though it's not linked to other sermons. I hope you enjoy.
Our first scripture reading today is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 10. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading today comes from the book of Acts. It is the story of the Holy Spirit coming upon the disciples. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in their own native language. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all those who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking of God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, asking, "What does this mean?" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to tell you that it takes at least 3 years of seminary and 35 years of preaching to perfect the pronunciation of all those things in that passage. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, same thing. Spirit of God, same thing. Paraclete, advocate, counselor, comforter, all the same thing. Holy Spirit, on this day, Pentecost, 50 days after Easter, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit that descended on the disciples like tongues of fire, enabling them to preach or speak in every language that was represented in Jerusalem on that day. The Holy Spirit. Words defy really explaining what it means, what it is all about. Perhaps that is why Presbyterians have such a hard time with the Holy Spirit. We are people of the Word and words, many words. We are people who are attracted to decency and order. We believe in the sovereignty of God, a God who created us with free will, a God who is sovereign, sitting in the heavens, a God who is steadfast and merciful and offers unconditional love, a God that sometimes has to judge. This third person of the Trinity, this Holy Spirit, has all the potential of really messing things up. It makes life for Christians and Christian communities completely unpredictable. It is the Holy Spirit that invites us into adventure, sacrifice, journeying without a map. The Spirit of the Lord came upon an old woman named Sarah and brought a child into her life, and she laughed when she heard it. The Spirit of the Lord came upon a young woman, Mary, and brought a child into her life. And she said, "Blessed am I among women." How wonderful, how crazy, how impractical. The Holy Spirit asks us to do things that we are quite sure we are not capable of doing. The Holy Spirit sometimes pushes us into things in a way that causes us to look around and say, "How did I get here?" It is this third person, it is in this third person that we truly find a personal relationship with God and Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is what settles in our hearts and allows us to recognize the love of God. It is the Holy Spirit that brings us knowledge and love and faith and gifts that go far beyond our human abilities and understandings. All of us gathered here this morning are hungry for the Holy Spirit. I know you thought it was your Wheaties, but it's really the Holy Spirit that creates a hunger in us. Some of us feel the hunger profoundly. We come to church, we participate in a lot of different activities because we're seeking that spirituality that sometimes feels elusive. There is some part of what we expect to feel that we are missing or lacking. Others of us don't feel hungry for the Spirit at all. We like things the way they always have been and always will be, forever and ever. Amen. We like them the same in our life and in our church. And every once in a great while, something kind of niggles in our brain or in our heart, but we successfully push it away so that things can continue as they are. Because it just feels safer, doesn't it, if things don't change too much? You know the joke. How many Presbyterians does it take to change a light bulb? Change? Who said anything about change? As a world community, we hunger for the Holy Spirit. In a time when we have more material possessions than ever before, we are searching for more. Look at the incredible breakdown of all of our structures right now. I mean, there are women of means, who are scared because they can't find baby formula on the shelves. There are people looking and searching and wanting to find meaning and feeling absolutely desperate. And so they pick up guns. The more that we are searching for can't be found in a different job or a bigger paycheck or another activity. The more that we are searching for is found in the third person, the Holy Spirit. So how do we get there? How do we get to this Holy Spirit? Come, Holy Spirit, is a simple, ancient prayer of the church. For generations, the church relied on this prayer for its very life. Peter and Paul relied on this prayer. Barnabas and Timothy and all the others who spread the news and built the church in its early days relied on this prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Over the generations, the church has become very organized, very institutionalized. We are industrialized, we are intellectualized. We have to go to 3 years of seminary. We have to take 2 languages. We have to pass a host of exams, and most of you still think we don't know what we're talking about. We have pledges and plans and liturgies and hymns. We have an organizational structure with elders and pastors, a book of order and bylaws. And while all of those things are good and important things in directing the life of the church, they beg the question of how much room we leave for the Holy Spirit. This morning, Joe read about the dry bones in the valley, and she was really worried about being able to get through the reading. She did a commendable job, but she was afraid she would start breaking into song, you know, the hip bones connected to the thigh bone. Fortunately, she didn't. Ezekiel 37, though, really isn't about the dry bones at all. It's about the breath that comes in at the very end. Once all those bones are connected, they're nothing until the breath of God breathes life into them. What a thought. What a concept. In the second chapter of Acts, we hear the exciting events of the room that the disciples are sitting in, waiting as Jesus has told them to wait. He has ascended into heaven. Ascension is another holiday Presbyterians don't talk much about, but it happens 40 days after Easter and 10 days before Pentecost, when Jesus ascends into heaven, but he says, don't worry, I'm leaving, but I'm gonna leave something with you. I'm gonna give you the paraclete, the advocate, the Spirit, and so you're gonna be okay. So those disciples are sitting around waiting, and it's Pentecost, which is not something the Christian church invented. Pentecost is celebrated by the Jews, but the Jews celebrate it as the Festival of Weeks, or again, it's celebrated as a thanksgiving for the first yield of wheat that comes from the harvest. So they have all made their pilgrimage to the city. Well, not all of them, but all of the men have made their pilgrimage to the city. And they're there to sacrifice their animals and give thanksgiving to God for the bounty of their harvest. And that's why the disciples have all these crowds, these people, these Elamites and all the other ites and Parthians, everybody that's there. That's why all these different, these people who speak different languages are gathered in one city. These days, we often overlook Pentecost. When we do mark it as quite simply the birthday of the church. Happy birthday to the church, yay rah. We wear red, and in our church, we have geraniums and really beautiful banners down the front. Thank you to Kate McVeigh, who took care of that on Saturday. We're going to celebrate communion. Thank you to the deacons. But Pentecost is so much more than a birthday or an anniversary. In a very real way, the disciples got their power on Pentecost. Those tongues of fire dancing on their heads weren't just there to warm them up. They were there to empower them, to set their hearts on fire, so that they could go out into the whole world and speak about the wonderful news of Jesus Christ, so that they could, in fact, establish the Christian church. When the Holy Spirit came to the disciples, it never left. Oh, the tongues of fire dissipated and the winds died down, but the Holy Spirit remained locked in their hearts, emboldening them to share the word of God. Jesus promises his disciples an advocate, a comforter, and that is what they get on this day all those years ago. The advocate, the comforter, the empowering Holy Spirit comes to the disciples. But here's a well-kept secret. It comes to us too. No tongues of fire, no great winds, although we could use a breeze right now. But it comes in our baptism. When we are claimed by that water as a beloved child of God, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And I've had the privilege of baptizing 3 babies recently, and we've talked about what it means to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. It means that nothing can ever take away your being as God's child or God's love in your life. You're absolutely sealed, and the Holy Spirit is there. So that not only are you sealed and then free to go on about your life, but you're sealed and there's this power in you that wants to be stirred up so that you can share your gifts, the gifts you're given by God, with other people, so that you can tell other people about the wonderful things that God has done in your life, so that you can feel like, yeah, I'll be an elder, or I'll be a trustee, or actually, if somebody wants to volunteer to be clerk of session, I'll be gold in Alex's book. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. It enables us to do those things that we think we can't possibly do. All we have to do is remember the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's that presence and power that enabled us to collect well over $10,000 for relief to Ukraine, well over $6,000 for One Great Hour of Sharing, and yet to be determined what you'll put in your Pentecost offering envelope this morning if you didn't do it last week. It's the Holy Spirit that provides the impetus for women to sit at a table and collect money for backpacks for children whose families live on $19,000 a year. That's the Holy Spirit, friends. It's the Holy Spirit that gets people to sign up to do a PADS shift from 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. on an early, early Wednesday morning because, God help me, why else would you do it if it wasn't the Holy Spirit? That's the power of the Holy Spirit as it works in all of our lives. It's the Holy Spirit that makes you pick up the phone when an old friend's name comes to your mind once too often in a day, and you think, you know, I ought to call Bill, or I ought to call Deb. I've just been thinking a lot about them. And then lo and behold, when you call them, more often than not, oh, I'm so glad you called. I've been meaning to call you. I need to tell you about blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's how the Holy Spirit works. So pray. Pray, come, Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is here. Right now, the Holy Spirit will be present in the meal that we're about to celebrate. The Holy Spirit is in all of us. The winds may not be as strong, the flames may not be quite as hot or quite as dancing, but the Holy Spirit still brings fresh breath to each of us. What else explains your presence here in the pews, week in and week out? Oh, sure, I know. The coffee's really good here, isn't it? What else explains the children we have outside planting a garden right now, our loaves and fishes garden? What else explains a 30-plus year ministry to those experiencing homelessness? What else explains the over $10,000 that we raised for Ukraine? How else do you explain 167 years on this block in this village? Through thick and thin, through a lot of changes. What else can make God's love real to us? What else allows us to put aside our personal differences and live united as the body of Christ? Come, Holy Spirit, come. When we really listen for the winds of the Holy Spirit and feel the heat of the tongues of fire, it can be frightening. Think again with me about that second chapter of Acts. The Holy Spirit comes into that room as the roar of a mighty wind. Have you ever watched our weather people when the winds pick up around here? They are not exactly saying, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." So there's a mighty wind whipping through that room. There's fire everywhere. Somebody should call 911. Head for the basement. Sit in your bathtub. For crying out loud, it's an emergency. No, it's the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And this time, let the fire burn. Let the wind roar. Even when we decide that the roar of a mighty wind and the tugs of fire were an exaggeration in the book of Acts, I think it's good to let the Holy Spirit frighten us a little bit. Stir us up. It sounds like a spooky thing that can come in the dark of the night. It's not something we can see or touch. At least not the way we would want to see or touch it. It's not something that we can prove. It's just something we know. And we can all know it if we just sit still for a minute. In reality, most of us calm, centered sort of people who like to plan their day and even make 5-year goals and 10-year goals, well, we're into comfort zones. We're not into change. We're not into crazy winds blowing us in a different direction. When the church dares to pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," the church is daring to ask God to do a new thing among us. When the church prays, "Come, Holy Spirit," the church is actually saying, "Yes, God, we dare to do your will, not ours." When we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," we are truly giving our whole lives, our whole community, to God and to God's plans and purposes for us. Those plans and purposes may not be the same as what we have planned. And if we sit still a minute, we'll figure out that that's okay. It's really okay to let the winds blow, to be ready for change, to pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." When the Holy Spirit is a vital part of our faith lives, we will find ourselves in uncharted waters. We may find ourselves teaching, oh my gosh, Sunday school for 7th graders. We may find ourselves as an elder, clerk of session. We may find ourselves singing in a choir when we really don't have time for Thursday night rehearsals. We may find ourselves volunteering to be part of a committee, putting an extra $20 in the backpack collection. We may find ourselves bringing an innovative new idea to session. We may find ourselves asking hard questions around the session table or even around the kitchen table. We may find ourselves rethinking our priorities. We may find ourselves talking to a coworker and realizing that exactly 3 minutes before we said what we were thinking, they were actually thinking the same thing. We may find ourselves getting up in the middle of the night, not sure why, and then meeting a sick child. We may find ourselves picking up the phone and saying, "Hi, Mom," even if our caller ID isn't working. We may find ourselves experiencing a lot of goosebumps up and down our back or on our arms, and even lumps in our throat or heart palpitations when we don't really know why. It's the Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. With the Spirit, we are all given the energy, the imagination, the intelligence, and the love to be the body of Christ, to share our gifts for the good of the whole. When the third person of the Trinity becomes an vital and important aspect of God, of the God we worship, and the personal relationship we have with Jesus Christ, when we call on the Holy Spirit as the third part of the Trinity, our life will change. For that is the very purpose of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit pushes us forward as a body of believers in new directions. The Spirit binds us together even though we may have vastly different opinions on certain things. The Spirit invites us to ask faithful questions, to speak of God's power, to share dreams and visions without fear and without hesitation. The Holy Spirit breathes life into us so we are no longer a bunch of dry bones in a valley, but we are the body of Christ, inspired, emboldened, empowered. For the love of God and the life of God's church, we continue to pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." No matter how much we want everything to stay the same, because we know that if we're honest, the same doesn't really work that well. And because deep down we know that when things stay the same, they end up dying. People end up vanishing. And pretty soon we're just a bunch of dusty old bones. The Holy Spirit is the way to the abundant life that Christ promises for all of us. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to learn more about First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, please visit www.firstpresah.org for more information on service times, directions, and to learn more about the First Pres family of faith.